This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Conservation is an essential part of preserving objects for museums, but it is also a field that often goes unnoticed. The Islamic Arts Museum Malaysia seeks to change this with an exhibition called Conservation, Craft or Science, which highlights modern conservation practices alongside the artifacts that are being shown. The exhibition is on until the 31st of October. And joining me today to tell us more are conservators from the museum, Lalita Tyagaraja, Mohammad Azizi Mohammad Azhar and Afika Mustafa. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you for having us.
How did the idea for an exhibition on conservation come about?
The Islamic Art Museum Malaysia is well-known museum in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So basically, our team is from conservation. And then we are conducting the conservation exhibition to make the public know about our department in IAMM, what is our function and what is our things that we are doing for the artifact. Mm. When we make this exhibition, actually we want to expose to public that the craft and also what is craft and what is science in conservation. So sometimes public awareness conservation is all about craft. Making some things to look good and also to make something better or looks new. But actually, it's more than that. It's more than a craft. We include more about... Because every day, conservation going through a lot of breakthrough and also a lot of new things that we learn every day. So actually, we want to... the objective is we want to have a public to know more about conservation that happenings in IAMM.
It's interesting because in a museum, you often expect to go and see an exhibition that revolves around objects or themes or a particular period. So when it came down to putting together an exhibition that is around your process,
yes,
and the work you do, how is that different from a regular exhibition?
The idea of having this exhibition came with the realization that people don't really know what conservation is. Often it's considered to be just cleaning, dusting.
And repairing something.
And repairing, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And making the object look beautiful. Because when we have an exhibition, people who come, like visitors, they only look at the object after it's stabilized. So it's all beautiful and pretty, shiny. But what goes behind the scenes is much more than just displaying an artifact. So this is what we wanted to show the Malaysian public. And at the same time, if conservation is behind the scenes, science is even behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely overlooked. And that's what we want to highlight in this exhibition.
I like the name of the exhibition, Conservation, Craft or Science, right? Because like you just said, I think there's some amount of awareness that there is science that goes into it. But because it sits under the banner of museum,
yes,
people tend to think that it's a lot more related to craft. Can you explain what exactly the science behind conservation is?
Okay. Science plays a very important role, as I mentioned earlier. But before we actually restore an artifact, there's a lot of process prior to restoration. So we have a lot of decisions that we have to make. What's the material, what's the artifact made of? So the materials, process, the manufacturing techniques, maybe previous restoration, we wouldn't know what people have introduced into the artifact and how that has changed because materials change over time. So understanding the behavior of the material is very important for conservation. So that's where I come in because Afika is a paper conservator. Mm-hmm. Azizi is the designer as he joined the museum. So we have to work together. Conservation is a very multidisciplinary field.
Yeah. So as Afika is a paper conservator.
Yes.
Azizi, you're a Designer. Yeah, what about yourself, Lalita?
Oh, I'm a chemist.
Okay, right. Yeah. So it's a very, it's a variety of expertise, right? And Afika, tell me a little bit about what your role in the process would be.
All right. For my role, I am as a paper conservator. So there are different types of case studies in the exhibition. There are metal, ceramics, paper, textile, and also frame and paintings unit. So for paper side, we have been introduced to people on the common mistakes that people will do, especially in paper conservation. In when you see a torn paper, and then you will immediately using the cellophane tape. So in that
wow, does that really happen?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And also always. People will always use stapler so to attach them together.
Repair.
So in conservation, in what we want to expose in the our exhibition, especially on paper unit, paper objects, we have emphasized on the damage after when you use the cellophane tape. Yeah, so what basically is we in conservation will we extremely avoid on using cellophane tape, paper clips, and also stapler and all that.
So what are paper artifacts actually when it comes to a museum context?
All right. In IAMM collections, we have basically Quran, manuscript, maps, miniature paintings, and most of them are from the Islamic world objects.
And where does the role of a chemist come in?
What we do is we are basically a support system for all the other units.
Yeah.
So we have the paper section, textiles, mm-hmm. metalwork, paintings and frames, and also paper.
Mm-hmm.
So when artifacts come into the museum, we go through a series of
procedures.
So the first step will be to isolate them. So we have a quarantine room, because before an artifact comes into the museum, you have to make sure that they are free from infestations like insects and maybe even fungus and mold.
Mm.
So once we are clear with that, it comes into the conservation lab and we decide if the object needs any treatment. So it doesn't have to be restoration for every artifact.
Yes.
Sometimes it's fine, it's stable, so it goes into the storeroom. Now, when the conservator realizes that something is wrong with the artifact, so they want to know, why is that material different?
Mm.
Why is it behaving differently? Something's wrong. So they come to us and they ask us if you could analyze this. It's not as straightforward as it sounds, okay? But the questions are very important, because we are not magicians that you press a button and then everything comes out. So you have to ask the right question, what you want to know. For example, if a textile conservator wants to know the type of fibers, is it cotton, is it silk, or maybe it's synthetic? And why this is important? Because each of these fibers behave differently under similar conditions. So this is so important, and that's why they consult us very often.
So as somebody who supports all of these units, you actually need to be familiar with all of these different materials as well.
That's right. Mm. So there are two of us, my colleague and I, Munira. So she works with organic materials and I work with inorganic.
Okay.
So it's a balance.
And then where does the designing aspect of the job come in?
Okay, after the several discussion with curatorial team in our IAMM museum, so basically my part is making a mounting and also the display,
stand.
Yes, sorry, for the artifact and also for the object. So basically, our role is to make sure that the mounting and also the display design that will display in the showcase looks elegant, looks attractive, and also the most important thing is the important thing is the safety of the object, because the safety the object sometimes is fragile and also needs a support and needs a very extreme. We call the safest stand or to mounting to make sure that the object stable in the showcase. So sometimes the material that we use for the mounting also is important to make sure that the mounting is not dominate the looks of the object display. So that is my part, my roles in IAMM.
Yeah, if I can add, the materials that the designers use should also be tested prior to use.
Okay.
So it's very complex because we cannot use commercial items, and that's already limiting for us.
Yeah.
So everything has to go through tests. And I mean, there's a database, in fact, in the international committee in the conservation field, so for us to refer. But at times, of course, when we use locally available material, you got to test it first.
Mm. So I'm curious how each of you actually got to this point in your careers. You know, how did you become, how did you end up working in the conservation unit in the Islamic Arts Museum?
All right. As for me, I am from a conservation background. So I have a basic knowledge on conservation, but during my universities, maybe it's only 40%. And then when I come to Islamic Arts Museum, there are another remaining percent. So I basically love conservation.
So you studied conservation in university.
Yeah.
And what drove you to wanting to do that?
Because I love to see artifacts. And I am a collector, a normal collector. So yeah, I love to collect things, and then I would like to prolong the age of the object. So for me, before I entered Islamic Art Museum, I basically do something that what we can preserve from home. It's like the proper storage on that, and then the basic cleaning on the materials that I've collected. So that's what from time to time, I feel in love in conservation. I feel like these things need to be conserved and preserved for the to be kept for a long time. So, so for a longer time. So, yeah.
And what about you, Lalita?
Well, as I just mentioned, I did chemistry in university, but I've always had a passion for the arts and archaeology. So, but at that time, we didn't really have a conservation course, so I went in to do chemistry. So once I graduated, I saw this, well, actually it was my father who noticed there was an advertisement for a chemist in a museum. So I think he found it strange, but also knew that I would be interested.
Yeah, he knew your interest.
Yeah, so I thought, why not? And so here I am since 2003.
And Azizi, how did you end up here?
Actually, I'm the student of industrial design in university. Same university with Afrika.
Okay.
But in our bachelor degree, we have a majoring. We have a three majoring. And then actually, I'm the one who my degree have a little bit knowledge about conservation. So when I first entered the IAMM, and then to be enrolled in the conservation unit to make the mounting, I think it's kind of related in what I'm study during my university years. So basically, the passion for conservation comes after I've try to design the mounting and also the stand, and then I was like, oh, this mounting needs, this artifact is has their own memory and memory things that attract people, and then they are also aesthetically value to other people. So that is when I came for this exhibition.
I was interested to hear you say earlier, Afika, that a lot of the work you learned on the job. Is that the case for all of you as well, that really a lot of the conservation and your knowledge came from working itself?
Yes, yeah, very true. Because each object is unique to itself. And even in the case of the designer, if you see, if you come to the exhibition, then you'll notice that we, when you look at a manuscript, we'll have three manuscripts there, but each one has its own mount, so and it's different. So that means that particular object is different from another. So each one requires special design based on its fragility. So this is why conservation is very complex, and we always have to communicate with each other before we actually go to the next step, which is display. Yeah.
So we do need to take a quick break. But when we come back, I would really like to learn more about what we'll be seeing in the exhibition itself. I'm speaking with conservators Lalita Tyagaraja, Muhammad Azizi, Muhammad Azhar and Afika Mustafa from the Islamic Arts Museum Malaysia about an exhibition called Conservation, Craft or Science. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking with conservators Lalita Tyagaraja, Muhammad Azizi, Muhammad Azhar, and Afika Mustafa. They are from the Islamic Arts Museum Malaysia, and they are the conservators behind an exhibition called Conservation, Craft or Science, which is on until the 31st of October. So before the break, we heard a little bit about what each of you do, what your jobs involve, but I am also now interested to hear what we'll be seeing at the exhibition.
The main concept of this exhibition is to introduce conservation to the general public and at the same time highlight the importance of science. So when we were brainstorming about this exhibition, we thought we have to speak the language of the general public because conservation is a highly technical field. So if we start talking about solvents and different percentages of chemicals, it's going to be incredibly intimidating as well. And you're going to keep away people. So we decided that we will select a few artifacts and exhibit it in such a way that it's like a case study. So we have several case studies from each unit, selected artifacts, which are interesting. And at the same time, it focuses on all the different aspects of conservation, not just repairing.
Yes.
Yeah, so it involves new techniques as well, and also preventive conservation, which is quite a new field as well. It became more popular in the 20th century. So it's about controlling the surroundings of the artifact. So you don't do restoration directly to the object, but you just control, like, for example, the humidity, temperature, and so on. And it also involves display, and that's where Azizi comes in, and handling and care.
Mm. What are some of the objects that we'll be seeing?
Okay, so there are basically 18 objects in the galleries. We have been displayed that 18 objects. So there are painting on canvas, and also there are vellum on parchment. Vellum, which is a skin, animal skin. Mm-hmm. So that will be considered under paper-based material for the vellum. So so there are also metal object, there are also on textile. Okay, for the paper and also textile unit, we emphasize more on the mounting. It's not just about how we repair it. We like how we prolong that object and stabilize that object. So for paper-based material, for the vellum especially, as we know that vellum is very sensitive to the humidity and also to the temperature.
You say as we know, but yeah, actually, I don't know.
As we, the conservators. Yeah. So that's what we want to expose to the public. And then we have introduced, we actually learned from our previous staff on the technique used to maintain, to stabilize the the movement of the parchment, as we know that as we, the conservators, experience that the vellum itself will
expand
and shrink according to the humidity. So we bring out the new technique that I think it's a new technique in here.
Yeah.
So we make for example, expandable polyester hinges. We just use the polyester hinges and we make the, it's like spring. And for that also we need Azizi to design it according to the formula that we have come out with our team. So we need Azizi to do the laser cut for the spring and all, and then we need to attach all along to the vellum to make it more flexible according to the humidity and also the temperature. So as for textile as well, we not only we people will know for textile only people will see maybe you like every day you do sewing and all that. So no, for in our exhibition we emphasize more on the display, on the mounting itself. How instead of using a normal mannequin, we use a
custom
mannequin. What we do is we use a technique that we have a previous speaker from Australia. And then she has taught us on using a four-shape material, which is it basically people can do at home that kind of mannequin. So it just need the four-shape material and also the heat, the steam iron. So you can shape it according to your costume. Mm. So in here, that's why we... It's actually... What we do in our exhibition is the people outside can, normal people can do at home. So for example, like paper, we teach them how to remove the cellophane tape as it will, from day to day, it will be very acidic. So it will destroy the paper from time to time. So yeah, we teach the normal people how to conserve, how to prolong the objects itself.
Speaking about object, there are one, I think we call it object, but visitors will not recognize it. Is it object or something? We have we call it Damascus Room. Is the Damascus Room actually being curated by, not curated, the one who being investigated is our chemist, Lalita. She said that the Damascus Room is consists of different kind of pigment from the, is it from the
how, yeah, it's in 19th century Syria.
Yeah, and then they have they use the organic materials, right, to paint the as we know in Malaysia we have a kind of ornament in the Malay house, right? So in Damascus it's the same principle. Mm. So and then it's when we look at the Damascus Room right now, they have a kind of a different color in the past actually. When we try, when we extract the material, and then we saw the layers of pigment and also colors. So it shows that even we see the colors of the object, like an example is orange color, right? But underneath it, actually, is they have a aquamarine, several colors,
Layers.
Yeah, several layers. So it's a kind. It's a like a.
Discovery,
yes. Ultimate discovery for our teams that, actually it's not the original color. So,
right.
So that is the most interesting object that I think we have discovered in our, we showed in our conservation exhibition, yeah.
So as part of the display, we'll be able to see how the different colors are have been added over time?
Yes, so... What we have done, because this is a room, so we can't bring the room to the gallery space. Yeah. It's a permanent installation in our Quran and Manuscript Gallery. So what we did was to show people how the room must have looked like in its original glory. So which is, I mean, now it looks a little bit dull because, as I mentioned earlier, materials change over time. So that is inevitable. So what we do is try to delay that process and ultimately share this knowledge with people who are the real stakeholders, by the way. So how do we show something so complex? Because what we found in the room is that a technique called Ajami was applied to the room. So this is a very traditional technique used in Syria for all these houses, historic houses. So in order to show that, we decided to recreate the technique and we sort of replicated one of the panels in the room and to show the different steps.
The steps,
right. So it's a painting process?
Yes, it's a painting process which uses gesso, which is like gypsum, and painted over with different colors, and then gilded with gold. So usually the decorations are on calligraphic, on calligraphy. Yeah. So to highlight the importance of calligraphy mainly, that's why we use gold. So it's gilding. So we found that visitors were very keen, especially on interactive modalities. So this is also something they can touch.
Yeah.
Because often in museums, there are always signs saying,
do not touch,
no photography, and things like that. So it already creates a gap. So I think this was a good approach, and we have received a lot of positive feedback.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other highlights or interesting objects that are being shown as part of this exhibition?
There's also this 17th century metal basin. So it's unique. I mean, it's different because it's brass, but brass is usually gold in color, something like gold and shiny. But this one is black, so it's intentional. It's not deterioration, it's not damage, but it was intended to be black because they used silver inlays to highlight the artifact. So that's a decorative element.
Mm-hmm.
So
and silver, where is that from?
That's from Bidar in India.
Mm-hmm. We also have a painting from 19th centuries.
Right.
The painting also interesting because we show the method of restoring the painting. Usually, the painting being restored from the back. This is the canvas painting. So usually they restore it from the back. But then for this kind of painting, it is being repaired from the front. Normally, the conservator will repair from the back to make it
less visible
and also to make sure that it's safe to do the works. But for this painting, we do it on the front because at the back they have original, the base, the frame,
backing,
original backing. Yeah, and then it also stated the 19th century's date, and also our painting conservator did not remove and did not doing the restoration works on the back. So they decided to do it on the front, but in very safe and also extreme delicate ways. So this is a show to the people that even for the conservator, we have to make a critical choice to repair the work. So it's not use the same method as the others painting. So the critical thinking also is play an important roles in this process.
I'm curious to hear for each of you, what was the most interesting or exciting object or artifact that you've worked on?
For me, is the for paper material. I mean, paper objects. The new thing that I know is the polyester hinges that we have used for the vellum restoration. So for me, it's a very simple and creative, and it's like when it has been completed, I will we can see that it's logic. It's like that. So it will react as a spring. So it will make the vellum very flexible.
And what about you, Lalita?
Okay, there's been a few, but I think I must say it's the Damascus room.
Right, I had a feeling you were going to say that.
It's very it's interesting because there's only a few left in the world. So I think we are very proud to have this as a custodian. Also because this is a very good example of another aspect of conservation. We do not have to remove all these aged layers to show people what it must have looked like. So we have a sort of a graphic representation of the colours. So we can only know this if you analyse the material. Mm. So hence the chemistry part of conservation.
Right. And what about you, Azizi?
For me, the interesting object that I've been working with the conservation for the conservation exhibition is the textile object, because they have their own mounting. Normally, for normally to display the textile object, we have a dress, and then normally we use the simple mannequin that have in the market right now. So, but for this exhibition, we use a
material called force shape.
Force shape. We use it force shape material because it's easy to shape for the dress. Because when we use the normal mannequin, the object will have more damage actually, because the object is very heavy. Mm. So there are parts that are not properly mounted using the existing mannequin. So we use the force shape material to make sure that the object is stable and safe to be shown to the public.
So there is a code of ethics, I understand, yes, when it comes to being conservators. Yes. What does that involve and how does that inform the work you do?
Right. We have an international council, which is called the International Council of Museums. So there are a set of rules and guidelines that we have to follow, because artifacts has its own value, not just monetary, but also historic value. So we have to consider all this before we do anything to them. So the decisions that we make before we actually restore an object is very important, because we might change something. And this is why we usually discuss with the curators. So the priorities of a curator and a conservator is very different. So we are often very obsessed with the material part of the object. Like sometimes also very possessive. You know, it can be a bit challenging, but there'll always be a compromise. For example, I forgot to mention the ceramic dish that we have in the exhibition. A very good example, because that was repaired using rivets. And these are metal rivets. So imagine metal rivets on ceramics. Mm. Very fragile. But this was a form of repair that was used in ancient times, as far as 3,000 years ago.
Right. And where is this plate from?
This one we have from China, but we also have the ones on display are from
China, if I'm right.
China, okay.
Yeah. And so the rivets were a legitimate part of how they used
That's
to
right.
restore.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So the fundamental rule is that we do not, we try to minimize treatment on the object. As long as the object is stable, then we try not to do anything. So we don't usually use the word repair, we say stabilize.
Right.
Yeah, so the ceramic dish itself, there are two, and the case study clearly shows that one dish has its rivets removed, because the conservator made the decision of removing these rivets because they are really harming the artifact. So it's made of iron. So it was corroding, staining the ceramic body. So it was a decision made at the time to remove and then to stabilize it. But at the same time, there's another one with the same type of rivets, but it's stable. So you don't remove it. Mm. And it was also a decision made not to remove. So that's why we have this exhibition, to show people that there is no one treatment that fits all artifacts. You have to decide based on the values, the significance, the vulnerability of the object, and so on.
To add about the decision-making and also the code of conduct that you mentioned just now, we also have one large painting in our conservation exhibition, so that the painting, currently we are not doing any of
restoration
but we are doing the
documentation
and also the UV to recognize the material that use for the painting. It shows that even though that we have the object in our hand, we have to make sure that we have to discuss between each conservation that what kind of treatment and what kind of stabilization method that we need to consider for this painting. So that is the part that conservation have to brainstorm the ideas and also look at the previous restoration works from others conservation department or museum, so that we can be able to find a suitable solution, a suitable restoration method for this painting. Yeah.
So ultimately, what do you hope that people who come to the exhibition, what do you want them to learn or take away about conservation?
I would really hope that they understand how science is important. I mean, how science is involved in conservation, and also that we are not simply cleaners. Mm. So yes. You know, it's just to give us a recognition and how much work is involved prior to the actual restoration. Sometimes it can take months to decide a treatment process because maybe the curator doesn't agree to this or the conservator doesn't agree to that. So you have to come to a compromise. And yeah, I hope the Malaysian public will understand this, and also our younger generation, and hopefully it creates an interest that, you know, you can actually come into this field, not only if you are from an art background, but you can also come in with a science background. Mm. So it's a very multidisciplinary field.
Yeah. When we are doing the conservation exhibition, we want to give a little bit knowledge about conservation exhibition, the basic knowledge to the public. Right now, we also conduct we also organize a workshop, and also meet the conservators, and also we have it's an open corridor. We open the
our lab
corridor.
So people can see how you do your work.
So we might attract younger generation, also the other public to know how conservator works, and also what kind of treatment and also methods of restoration that they are doing in IAMM. Yeah.
Thank you very much. It sounds like a really interesting exhibition. I've been speaking with conservators Lalita Tyagaraja, Muhammad Azizi Muhammad Azhar and Afika Mustafa from the Islamic Arts Museum Malaysia about an exhibition called Conservation, Craft or Science. It's on until the 31st of October, and it highlights the field of modern conservation alongside the artifacts that they work on themselves. For more information, visit iamm.org.my. If you've missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.